Vamos então prosseguir com
so let us continue with the new supraterrestrial pathways. Today, the condition of the Earth, the condition in which the Earth is found, is not favorable for those supraterrestrial contacts and connections. It is not favorable because here on Earth we hear, we remember what we hear, we understand what we hear, but it is almost never applied. So we hear, we remember, we learn, but we do not put it into practice. This is the problem here on Earth. And that which we manage to learn in any field would be what would help us to gain this contact. But if we do not apply that which is supposed to be applied, there is always a link missing. And then the teaching continues coming, but we cannot find the thread. And the teaching that we receive, or the signs that we receive, or the information that is given to us, also contain everything that we need for us to go beyond our limitations, and mainly to get out of the limitations that which we call terrestrial phantoms. These are the illusions people have. Every illusion is a waste of time in this sense, and it is a rupture in this chain, a link that breaks every single illusion. If truth, if that which we learn, if that which we already know were really put into practice, in the exercise of what we already know, we would find our ascent, we would find our uplifting. So when we learn something, it is not only to know more. When we learn something, by putting it into practice, we become capable of moving upwards, and so we do become uplifted. But if we do not apply it, we are unable to move above these terrestrial phantoms, which is to say, these illusions of human life. Well, at this moment, we have the means by which to make this contact, either in the etheric body or the right side consciousness. On our etheric level, in our etheric body, we have a center, which is called the Alter Major Center. It is good to locate this center, but not to force it, rather just to know that it is there. This Alter Major Center is located near the carotid artery, below the base of the cranium, in the area of the nape of the neck. Here there is an etheric center that facilitates the fusion of the energies that are moving up the spinal column with the energies of the major center of our head. So the people who are in the system of the chakras, and there are many, these have this alter major center in this region, which has just been described, which is the one that merges these energies. Except that the work of this center must occur in a spontaneous way. We must not force the work of this center, because this alter major center functions in a spontaneous way when our intention of uniting all of these energies and of communicating with the supraterrestrial, when this is pure, is innocent, and is real. So this alter major center is there, And it is good for you to take it into consideration that you should be aware of it and that you should know that you do not need any special skill, nor do you need to learn any magic formula. You don't need to learn any yoga to do this, because the altar major center does this spontaneously. But for this to happen, your intention has to be pure. You must be seeking these contacts, this possibility, to help you become better, and for no other reason, because if not, this center does not function. Many are living a transition today. Many are living the transition of this altar major center to fuse the energies to the system of right side consciousness. But while the right side consciousness is not completely active, the right side consciousness is in the aura outside of the body, the altar major center continues to help and assist the awakening. This center carries out this fusion and regulates it according to our capacity as a being, our capacity as bodies, to withstand a stronger energy. Because for you to communicate with the supraterrestrial area, it is understood that you are able to bear this energy. Do you see how we cannot do exercises for this? Because the exercises place you in those contacts in an artificial way. And those contacts, if they are very strong, they will burn your etheric capabilities. And burned etheric capabilities have an impact in the next lifetime, where you will have an etheric body that is a little weaker, a little more fragile. So all of this has many repercussions. So we really have to be ready for these contacts. We have to be open for these contacts. We know that our body, our being, has all the elements to organize the energy to make those contacts, and we do not have to force anything at all. To force something in this field, for you to want to make these connections artificially, gets the attention of hostile forces. And then the hostile forces organize themselves in such a way that you make the contacts artificially. And for you to make these contacts artificially means that you will not know how to interpret what you will find. You will not know how to discern what is before you in the subtle worlds, on the subtle levels. So if you have a supraterrestrial contact on the subtle level through an artificial formula, you will get there, and you will not know how to discern. You will not be able to understand what you have before you. If you come up against an entity, you may not know what entity it is, or what the intention of that entity is. So this work that we do is a generalized work, so that we will have the information and have the key for how to work, but not to hand out formulas, not to use artificial means, because this will come back to us in our lack of experience, which we will recognize when we artificially attain a zone or an area. The altar major center that organizes those energies of the spinal column, that blends the energy that comes from below with the energy of the head centers, all of that still functions in many people. and the right side consciousness is beginning to function in a majority. Now, our role in this process is to offer ourselves to truth. That's all. You do not have to learn any technique. You do not have to use any mechanism. You have to offer yourself to truth. It's simple. You do not need to be specialized in anything in these fields. You have to have offered yourself to truth. It is here that the centers respond. The answer comes according to your offering of yourself to truth. So we get to know about so many things, the supraterrestrial worlds, the worlds on certain planets, in certain constellations, in certain stars, and how to get there. You don't have to leave home. You don't even have to lift a finger to get there. You just have to have offered yourself to that which for you is the truth. So if you have offered yourself to that which for you is the truth, it depends on your sincerity and the intensity with which you have offered yourself to the truth. Look, you don't even have to know what this truth is, because you couldn't know anyway. You do not apply the mind to this. The mind is not for this. The mind is to be used for you to do this, and then that's it. The task of the mind is finished. If your mind has told you, do this, that is enough. It can take a rest. So here you are open to the truth. And the truth will gradually guide you. The truth begins to take form, and the truth gradually guides you. But if you say, I am open to the truth, but I don't understand any more than I used to understand, no, you are really living. Aren't you open to the truth? So then you will live your real life. So be open to the truth itself, not for this or for that, for the truth in itself. So see, I don't want to know what is happening there, what the truth is about that person. No, it is not this. You want the truth in itself. You are open to the truth, whatever may be manifested to you. We are concerned then with the life on this earth. And we are involved with the life on this earth. But we can also be concerned with the life in other spheres, other planets, other constellations, with the life of the stars, with the life of the sun. We can be concerned with this because life is one. But it is not a thirst for life. It is not a need for living. Not even a broader life. It is a need for truth. Do you see the difference? It is very subtle. So it is a need for truth. And whatever begins to happen, whatever begins to arise, whatever begins to emerge, that is the truth. That is what you are needing. So now, in this part of the lecture, we are going to begin to share some thoughts about planets, about stars, constellations, that give us some notions about truth. And if we have this aspiration for contact, we have to gradually follow this pathway. We have to gradually reach this supraterrestrial life, enter into these ambits. The planets are entities, they are lives. The planets are not these bodies we see in space. What we see in space are the bodies of great entities, of great lives. So when the name of a planet is mentioned, we are invoking a great life. It doesn't matter if it is near or far from the sun, how much time it takes to orbit, whether it is physical or not physical. you are contacting a great life that is manifested through that body. So the influence we receive does not come from the physical planet, do you see? Otherwise, you will not get away from the astrology of the Earth. You will not get away from the Earth. You will remain under the physical influence. That planet is a life. That planet is a being. That planet is a great entity. In Kabbalah, it even had a name. That name in Kabbalah, which is not the name of a planet, is a principle which vivifies that body in space. We need to attune with this principle, with this entity, with this life, because this life acts upon everything here on Earth. It acts upon everything. So we need to get away from considering the planets, the stars, the constellations, to be physical bodies, the way astronomy teaches, with all of the laws that astronomy teaches. That is all real, but we need to go beyond in order to be in this world and to be functioning in this world. So this principle that vivifies the planets, this is what we attune to, not to the planet. What we call Mars is not that body in space. In this study, we call Mars the principle that vivifies that body. And we don't know if it is called Mars. It is a principle that does not have a name. It is a specific, special principle. And you are connected with this. If you aspire, it is omnipresent and it is there. So you are on Mars. So you are attuned with that principle. And if we are attuned with the principles represented by the planets, we have a cosmogony in us. We have all the doors open. There are many, many planets, not only those which we know. So if you seek truth in itself, suddenly a planet that nobody knows is active, is connecting, is in touch with you, is responding, and it is none of those known planets. The very sun and the very moon that we see in the sky, and which we call sun and moon, they are representing for us two planets that are completely unknown and secret. So that which we call sun and which influences is something else. It is not what we think it is. The role of the sun is to cloak that which is serving us, do you see? And the same thing with the moon. The moon is cloaking a planet that cannot be revealed, cannot be known. So do not be deluded by the physical side of these planets. Do not be deluded by the action of these planets only in material life. Otherwise, you will be stuck in astronomy. You will remain in terrestrial science. You will not enter into, you will not really participate in this life. I don't know if it is the sun that is there, or if I see the moon, or something else which is not the moon, it is hidden. You need to seek the truth. And as you become able to know the truth, to bear the truth, to receive, to work with the truth, then all of this will flow. All of this will be communicated. Each planet is linked to another six. So the planets are septenary. So you can see that it is almost impossible for you to humanly and mentally perceive this in a precise and clear way, because each planet works with seven. Certain planets are hidden with the names of others cloaking them. All we can do here is seek the truth. It is not to seek the truth of the planet, but to seek the truth that you need in this moment in order to receive that which that planet is giving you. It is very important for us to become aware that in the essence of all of this which we see, in the essence of all of this which exerts influence, there are great entities, there are great lives. This is very important because they are great planetary spirits or great angels according to the level of the celestial body. And therefore, forces, energies, blessings exist there, which can solve any mental problem. When we say any mental problem, this means that there is nothing that these great entities, these great influences, cannot solve. Any emotional problem, any psychic problem, any spiritual problem, there are no problems for the help they can give. Only this is not material astrology. It is not physical astrology. It is not concrete astrology, the astrology we know. It is the truth hidden behind that astrology. It is what is not manifested. All of this is the work, not of the planets, not of the stars, nor of the constellations. It is the work of those hierarchies, those spiritual regions, those entities that manifest in this way. So we must not be materialistic, thinking that it is the planets, that it is the stars. The planets and the stars are physical things. That which is out there, which is the essence, which is really the content, which is really what it is, that is not physical. It is the principle that vivifies what is there. Each of these entities has an influence on us, because in our being we are also septenary. Each one of us has seven levels of consciousness. Each one of us has seven levels of substance. And each of these planets is, in essence, in contact with one of our levels. For example, the planet Mars, or rather, that which vivifies the planet Mars, corresponds to the essence of our animal soul. When that which vivifies the planet Mars connects very directly with our animal soul, with our body of desires, with our body of passions, it brings about a transformation in this body. This causes a transformation in this soul, this animal soul of ours. That which propels, which is the essence of what we call the sun, which is its essence, if we build a bridge regularly with this, we would have eternal life. The breath of life would always remain alive in us. Eternal life does not mean in the physical body, of course. We would have eternal life. That which is the essence, the entity or principle of the planet Mercury, if we were to keep this before us, if we were to link with this entity, Mercury, it would place our mind on a universal standing in an ever broader situation. And unlike Mars, which is linked to our animal soul, Mercury is linked to the more spiritual side of our soul. So you see that the soul, without Mars and without Mercury, is an earthly soul. It does not have these principles alive within it in order to perceive, to transcend certain stages. And these principles of these planets are doing this. Saturn, for example, Saturn, that which acts in Saturn, those which are the principles of Saturn, if it communicates with our desires, if it communicates with our intelligence, it transmutes our desires, it transmutes our intelligence, it lifts our intelligence to another level, to another field. So you see, we need to expand. We need to look to what is above and seek this truth. Seek the truth in all of this, because this is all there to act, to communicate with us much more openly than it has done so far, ever since we are humans. Jupiter, for example, and this which vivifies Jupiter, the principles of Jupiter, is the fluid that vivifies our bodies. So you see how elementary we are. We are developing our bodies, doing exercises with our centers, and we do not even know how to interact with these centers. We don't know the karma of these centers. So Jupiter, this great entity, this force, this principle, regulates the fluid of our bodies. This is its work. All you have to do is seek the truth, nothing more. These brothers do all the rest. These planets do all the rest. And Jupiter takes care of the fluids of human bodies, but also the fluids of all animal bodies, and it takes care of the fluids of all terrestrial things. So you see how much time we waste with fluids. Do you see how much time we waste? We burn herbs, we burn incense. This is Jupiter's work. Jupiter does this. You have to seek the truth. And your fluid will be what you could never have dreamed of. There is no herb that can do this. There is no projection of light that can do this. This is Jupiter's work. We have to know about these things. We have to relate to these things, to these beings. We call them beings because they are beings. Later they will evolve even further and no longer be called beings. But for now they are still beings. They are entities. They are principles. And Venus. Venus, which has all those forces, all those principles that transform our mind. Venus is able to make our mind a really human mind instead of a brutish mind, as concrete minds are in most of humanity, minds of brutes. This Venus, these principles, take care of this. They bring about this transformation. However, when Venus takes care of our mind, when this mind, cared for by Venus, this mind built by Venus, this mind nurtured by Venus, will make us an intelligent being, and not a malevolent being, and not a mind inclined to evil. These are not mental theories. They are not doctrines, do you see? Doctrines, these things, written mental principles, all of this, these are basic for you to come out of the darkness. But after that, your mind, your mental process, your mental development takes place with that principle, with Venus, with that principle. And now this body that gives you so much work, this body has to be tamed, and you cannot manage to tame it. Of course you are not able to tame this astral body, this emotional body, which you cannot train. Naturally, this is not yours. You need to seek the truth and allow the moon, with that which it cloaks, let the moon take care of this. Let it work with your emotions. Let it do the work. And the moon gradually works even with your etheric counterpart. Even your etheric bodies will end up taking on another condition and another situation. Each of these planets, each of these beings, each of these entities, as we have seen, is septenary. There are always seven globes. And so we should not see one of these planets merely as a concrete being. Because to reach this point of being physically visible, each of these planets, and this includes the Earth, each planet has been through lives on different levels of consciousness. So each of these planets, the Earth as well, is at its densest level today. The Earth has reached its maximum density. But the Earth was not always this dense. The Earth began by being very subtle. The Earth began as an invisible body, seen from the physical point of view. Later it gradually solidified, and in this fourth globe that it is today, it became physical. It is a physical Earth. But we cannot treat the Earth as simply a physical planet. We cannot treat the Earth like a material body in space. This was once a very subtle body which gradually went through several incarnations, which gradually went through several cycles, several stages, until it reached the state of this physical Earth in this present grade of density. We must not hold on to the thought form that the Earth is dense, that the Earth is concrete, that the Earth is physical, that the Earth is hard the way it is now, because at this present time it is at its highest degree of materialization. So we need to help the Earth to continue this pathway, because just as it came into materialization and became more condensed and now has become solid, this Earth must now take the path of return. It must make the opposite movement and become more subtle. You do not enter into superterrestrial life if first you do not work with the Earth, if you do not carry out your task with the Earth. And to carry out the task with the Earth in this stage of the Earth, in this stage of our understanding, is to cooperate with, to contribute to help this movement of the Earth, which from its densest stage, which you can see, what concrete life, what concrete situations. So you need to be inside these concrete situations, but ready and willing to move towards more subtle situations. Because then, when the Earth begins its return towards subtle levels, you will be cooperating with this. So you see, all that takes place here on the surface of the earth, on the physical level, is related to this state of density. Any movement, even religious movements, even political movements, intellectual movements, artistic movements, all these are conditioned by the density of the earth. So we cannot be in any of these movements, backing up that grade of density. And you see the density of all of this through people's behavior, through that which happens in those movements. It is something dense that pertains to this solid globe that the earth is at this time. But those who are aware know that the earth will go through other stages, and the coming stages of the earth will be ever more subtle. So the earth will gradually become more subtle until it becomes an invisible globe again. Here we need some information that will help us to cooperate with the earth. In the beginning, when the earth was subtle, which is to say, in a previous globe, not this dense one, in a previous globe, there was that which was called the sacred earth. So when the earth emerged as the first globe, like an invisible globe, the sacred earth was founded. The sacred earth is how the earth was imagined. So this sacred earth existed in the beginning, in the earth's most subtle globe, most subtle incarnation. There the sacred earth was founded. And this sacred earth, this pattern of the sacred earth, this pattern of sacred life, accompanies all the incarnations of the earth. And the sacred earth still exists today on the supraterrestrial plane, in this dense earth. And the sacred earth will continue to exist in this earth until the earth becomes fulfilled and thus becomes the sacred earth. But that which the earth should be was already established, was already known in the beginning. Some beings lived there, beings developed there. And this sacred earth goes on. It continues to be. This sacred earth is eternal. As long as the earth exists, this sacred earth is there. So this sacred earth exists today. This ideal earth, this earth the way it should be. Sacred earth is the term used for this. This exists today, and it is imperishable. It never dies. So see, when it seems that the earth is going to end, doesn't it seem so? Bombs have been made that can disintegrate the planet. If several are launched, the planet will not survive. Yet in spite of all this, it will not end. It will not end because it contains this eternal earth. It has this eternal pattern that is present here today. So we are not going to escape from Earth to any other planet. We are not going to run away. These beings from other planets that come to Earth, and that we know about them because of the lights, we know about them because of the lights in space, these beings that come to Earth are beings that have already become identified with the sacred models of their own worlds. So we need to become identified with this sacred earth. We need to identify with this model of the earth and not become involved with this dense earth and not become involved with the current state of the earth, because this current state of the earth tends to go back to becoming more subtle. It tends towards a return. It has not yet reached the depths of solidity. It still has a tiny way to go to be totally solid. To be solid means to be limited within this density. But the sacred earth is here. The sacred earth is present. and it emanates, it radiates, it makes itself visible in our hearts, it acts in our soul, in our monad. And this sacred earth did not participate in the history of the earth. This sacred earth has not been touched by all that has happened on earth. This sacred earth did not go through the trauma of Lemuria. This sacred earth did not go through the trauma of Atlantis. This sacred earth is not going through the trauma of today's life. This is the spirit of the earth. This is a model of the earth. If we keep this in mind, and if we really open up to this truth and allow this truth to permeate us, we will live on the physical earth, we will live in the current stage of the earth, but somewhat like the sacred earth, which is to say, like an instrument to make this earth a little more subtle. Because it is going to complete the cycle of solidity, and then it will begin to become subtle, until one day it will be absorbed into the one life. This sacred earth was the cradle, the beginning, of all the terrestrial beings that today we consider to be very evolved, and this sacred earth will be their home. So an earth exists, which always existed as its model, and this dense earth, this planet, will come to be like that model, and we need to get in touch with this. We need to keep this reality in mind so that we can also become more subtle, so that we can enter into this movement of becoming refined, of becoming subtle, into this movement of elevation without depending on the things that happen on Earth. Because you can live on Earth connected to the process of the Earth, and you can live on the Earth connected to the sacred earth, because then you are going to fulfill the terrestrial phase of the earth, but you will not be overly conditioned by the phase of the current earth. The sacred earth, the future earth, the earth that has always existed is there in this supraterrestrial world for us to contact, for us to experience. Very well. Yes? What do we call a Munakur? It is this great entity that represents the consciousness of the earth. It represents the consciousness of the earth. A planet has a consciousness, just as the earth has a consciousness. The earth is a being. The earth is a being, and this being, this consciousness of the earth, must be represented by a great entity, which we call the Lord of the World. So this is a great entity that represents the consciousness of the earth. Sanat Kumara, Amunakur, our consciousnesses, our entities that represent the consciousness of the earth. They are not terrestrials, otherwise they could not be the Lord of the World. So they are consciousnesses that represent the terrestrial consciousness. And they link the world, they connect the earth with all of the cosmos. This is the work of Amunakur on earth. Amunakur is not the terrestrial consciousness, nor is it the earth. The Lord of the World represents this consciousness while it is his task, because then he can go on to another world, to more advanced worlds, because he is also developing a consciousness on that level. Amunakur is taking the place of the consciousness of the earth until the earth consciousness itself can assume it. Amunakur takes the place of this consciousness And since he is much more advanced than the consciousness of the earth, there's no danger.